Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary super intelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of cheap fun.
Oh no, they were hurting you so bad! Oh no!
This is malicious fecal distribution.
I'm going to that link.
Caitlin Clark is white!
Pussy.
I lost it there.
Football's football. The only way to get better at it is to play football.
Football's football. The best part of football is football. And so you got to do football.
I think it's a Himalayan snow cone.
I'm gay.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. What's up?
We're done doing football.
Yeah, we are. But now we're on to basketball because Kansas and Duke is on. So
Kansas already up 7-3. Rock
Hell
job.
Yeah, bro.
And Buckley, with the astute observation,
mm-hmm.
Cooper Flagg may be the best non-NBA player in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He desperately needs a haircut.
Just a real haircut.
Yeah, a real haircut.
It doesn't... He doesn't have a hairstyle. It's just grown out like your toddler would.
He does. It looks like he looks like a weird farm kid.
May I defend him for a moment?
You're going to defend that haircut?
Well, I think, yes. I'm going to try.
All right, go for it, Kansas boy.
It was a little bit of a low blow, I think, from a man who has no hair.
I'm insulted
boom.
As 10-3, a man.
10-3, bitch.
I'm insulted as a man that has no hair that he's doing that with his hair.
Being a man of increase?
I think he's just in a between stage.
Yeah.
I think that's what
you think
is.
He's trying to grow it out?
Yes. I think eventually he'll grow that out, but it's just a tween. I think if you're asking him to style it better, that's a fair criticism. But right now, I feel like...
I mean, I know you're going to get sweaty in a second, so it doesn't really matter, but yeah, he looks like a little kid.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Well, he's also like 12
I know he's
old.
Young, but he doesn't have to look that young.
He's 12, right?
I think he's 17. 17, 18. Yeah, he reclassified. You know, Justin Herbert went through some awkward hair phases.
For sure.
And now he's come out on the other side with a great head of hair. The facial hair?
Nah. You could take a nice razor there. That'd be good.
Yeah, that's a young man who needs to just stay clean shaven.
It's not. Well, you know, every young guy wants to have the facial hair, but...
Yeah. Facial hair is not for everyone. The long flowing locks is not for everybody. It's just
his
works
hair
for some,
game,
not for others. His hair game is great.
His hair game is mean, though.
It's on
but
point.
The facial hair just... Cut it off, makes your hair look that much better.
He's it's like he's watching too many NBA games because I'll tell you what, no one leads sports in bad facial hair quite like the NBA.
Yep.
I mean, it's there's James Harden and then that's about it. Like Damian Lillard, I love him, but I'm looking right at you, buddy. That
Steph
thing,
Curry too, no.
Yeah, it's just brutal. But yeah, Cooper Flagg does need a big boy haircut. It's rough. And speaking of athlete hair, I saw this because I was watching the Raiders for some unknown reason.
Why on earth would you do that?
Well, I was interested
because
in what
Bo Nix is God.
I was interested in what Bo Nix is doing. I tune in. I want to see his kind of growth and development. And the Raiders have a great rookie that no one's talking about because it's the Raiders.
Oh,
dude, Brock Bowers is the truth.
He's awesome, and he needs hair help.
Oh my God. Like, he's got the Jordan Spieth thing going on.
Yes.
It is rough.
It's really thin, and he hasn't kept it tight enough, so it's like wispy and thin over the front of his forehead.
He took off his helmet on the sideline, and they showed a close-up of it, and like, it was...
He should just go the way of Suk. Pick that thing.
It's bad. Someone needs to sit down with him and just be like, hey, man, it's over. God. It's over, dude. It's like, get with the hair restoration, people. Get with Brady, or just call it good at this point. Just shave it.
Isaac, do you think Duke will score more than 3 points tonight, or no?
I don't think so. I feel like Kansas is on pace to win this 97-3.
Yeah. I like that for you.
Hey,
I got my money on Jayhawk.
And Kansas getting 4.5, so,
yeah,
you know.
Catching points.
Come on.
I got to tell you guys, I, as a Kansas fan, and you know, I am a Bill Self homer, so I am very biased here.
Yeah.
Anytime that dude's catching points, I'm taking him.
Take it.
I don't care what his team is. I don't even care who he has on his team. He's really good.
That's how you do it?
He's really good.
Just grab him.
Well, right now, they're up 10 on the stupid Dukies.
Actually at 14.5 if you're gambling on it. Brock Chuck.
That's right.
The question is, do we go for the middle?
I was just going to ask you in the break, when do we play the middle?
Yeah, I got to check the line. What's the line? You got a live?
I haven't looked at it. I'm trying to do my job.
Yeah, I know. Can we go to break or something? I don't want
to. We can. It's time to do that.
We have business to take care of here. We have money to win.
It is technically 6:12, so
yeah, let's go.
You'd be right on the clock.
While we look up live lines and try to hedge back.
Let's see if I can. It's not a hedge. It's a middle. There's a difference. A
chance to double up.
That's
free.
Right. Double for nothing.
I love it.
All right. Well, anyway, we'll take a break.
Gambling is fantastic.
Could you run a marathon drunk? Next on The Fan. All right. Well, Buck and I, we decided not to middle. Still early. Kansas up 10 on Duke.
Rock Chuck.
But Duke hanging in there on the money line and the points. They're still only... It's like plus one.
Okay.
So.
It started at, what, 4.5 when you got it?
Yeah. The middle's too small.
Yeah.
But I also think it just looks like Kansas is going to win.
18-6 right now.
So we're looking for more on the live bet.
Understand.
All right. So her name is Justine. Hung? She's hung. Hung. H-U-A-N-G. Hang? Yeah.
H-U-N-G,
Huang.
Huang?
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 Because isn't that like is that the same spelling as the Oregon State guy, the NVIDIA guy? Huang?
Yeah, maybe.
I think it's Huang.
It's what?
Huang.
Okay.
This is the whitest conversation we've ever had.
Well, we're kind of looking to you for help. Aren't you married to an Asian?
So now you're saying all Asians are the same? I'm not married to a Huang.
You're not running for president of Asia.
Yeah. Yes.
No, but isn't there a proper pronunciation of that?
Well, there is a difference between Japanese,
you
Korean,
don't know
which
either.
I'm
this
familiar
is the problem.
With.
You don't know either. So we're all idiots.
Yeah.
And very white.
Bonus rewards program kicks in.
Her name is Justin Huang, according
it's not
to
Justin
or Justine. Sorry. according to
now, you're committing hate
Buckley.
Crimes over here.
She's 26, and she just ran the New York City Marathon drunk.
Gloria! Gloria!
Well, she says she likes to push herself, but drinking to the point of being unable to break any records reminded her that running is actually fun.
Is
especially
it?
When roughly 7 alcoholic drinks are involved.
I would say 7 for most people would probably...
So she had 7 cocktails.
I would probably consider that drunk.
She says, as a competitive person, I have the mindset that I want to run as fast as I can, but forcing myself to slow down this time, spending time with spectators and friends who came out to support me, made this experience so much better than I thought. Well, she didn't get the opportunity to run the Bank of America Chicago Marathon.
Hmm.
And the New York City Marathon 3 weeks apart, since both are hard to get into. So the lottery for the New York City Marathon has an acceptance rate of 4%.
Yeah, because like those big ones, you don't just get to show up. You have to qualify for those and put in your time. And yeah.
So she did not have to go through the lottery. She bypassed that. She snagged one of the 14,000 slots allocated to charities who give bibs to runners who fundraise for them.
Okay.
So she relied on the lottery for the Chicago Marathon, where there's like 120,000 runners.
Yeah.
Applying for 50,000 spots. Once she learned she had received a slot, she decided to run for speed at Chicago and run for vibes in New York City.
I like that we're doing vibes.
That is such a millennial statement.
That is.
I'm doing this one for speed, but I'm doing this one for vibes.
This one's for vibes.
So,
if you do it for vibes, shouldn't you take like an acid tablet or some mushrooms?
Hey, whatever vibe you want, man.
I feel like that would be, like, that's a more enjoyable marathon.
Your vibes might be different than her vibes.
That's your true. Race, your vibe, bro. So, both marathons draw huge crowds, right?
Yeah.
So Chicago has like 1.7 million spectators on the course. Mm-hmm. New York has over a million. So when she raced to meet her goal time in the Chicago Marathon, she was not able to interact with the crowd and her friends who came to support her. So her goal in the New York City Marathon was to engage with the spectators that were cheering her on. Well, she said, I wanted to eat all the food I saw and then drink whatever the spectators were bringing. That was my plan going into the race, but I didn't expect how much food and drinks there would be. She started with candy. Then the first guy handed me, I think, a shot of Hennessy. After that, it got really, really lit.
Can I just say that this lady is now my hero? This is awesome.
She is great.
Yes.
There's photos of her, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, I see right here. Well, the BTJ does not run marathons, but she ran a half marathon last year in Arizona, and she's running one this year, like, in somewhere in Northern California. And I feel like this needs to be part of their half marathon.
Yeah, experience. You should do one in Napa. I guarantee there's booze out there.
Yes. This is... Yeah, the photos of her running this thing are freaking awesome.
Yeah, she's all house.
She looks happy smiley. As can be.
She is. Because she was drinking.
Yes.
Then she said three people handed her beers, and her friends who came to cheer her on brought her another shot of liquor. She detailed her full drunk running experience in a TikTok that has amassed almost 4 million views. Yeah. In all, she estimates she had 4 or 5 shots of liquor and then maybe 4 or 5 half cups of beer.
Of course, now we're getting the professionals that are saying that this is a terrible idea. And you need to stay hydrated. And
well,
you're getting the fun police that are being real staboners in this whole thing.
Staboners.
Get out of here. Let the lady have some fun. No one's collapsing and dying at the Chicago Marathon. There's paramedics there.
She also was given a red solo cup of Prosecco. New York City running coach Elizabeth Corkum, known as Corky in running circles, said,
of course, Corky.
Dehydration is a big concern during a marathon, even without the alcohol. She loves her post-race beer, but said, alcohol and running do not mix.
I beg to differ.
Alcohol
Shut up, Corky.
Is, here's
exactly.
What, here's what Corky said. She said, alcohol is poison. It's a fun poison, but it's poison. And so for a runner, it's going to do a couple of things. First off, it's diuretic. So depending on how much it's consumed, it might actually impact that athlete's dehydration. Alcohol can also get in the way of our body's ability to really utilize carbohydrates efficiently. I just want you to know that.
Dude, am I the only one?
No.
When it comes to stuff like this, that it drives me crazy when people act like everyone that's competing in something like this is in it to run their best PR time or to break some sort of record. Doesn't anyone understand that sometimes people just do things to have fun and alcohol makes things more fun? Lighten up, Corky. God. This is so great. Yeah. I love this lady.
When we want Corky's input, we'll ask for it.
Exactly. She said her stomach was surprisingly fine with all the snacks and drinks.
She said she did fine. She made it.
Yeah, first time consuming anything other than gummies and water and electrolyte drinks for a long run.
So you're wondering how fast she did the Chicago Marathon. That was the one that she was trying hard.
Speed versus vibes.
4 hours and 14 minutes.
Which I have no idea if that's a good time, but...
In Chicago. And the one where she was drunk... 5 hours and 36 minutes.
But I bet you that one was 1,000 times funner and more memorable than the one that she ran 14-14. And here's the thing. You didn't win either one. You're not going to win either one. Lighten up. I love this lady. Put a little more whimsy in your life. Add some smoking and alcohol to whatever physical activity you're doing.
Smoking.
The greatest photo of all time is that, is it Len Dawson, the Chiefs quarterback, at the halftime of Super Bowl I? He's got a Chidi Fresca, and he's got a heater in his mouth.
I'd encourage you not to loop Corky in on this one.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but Len Dawson was in Flavor Country at halftime. That's amazing. It just is. You can't tell me anytime you see someone doing something active, but they've got a cigarette in their mouth. When I lived in La Center, the La Center All-Stars, there was a lady that would jog, and she was hot. She was an in-shape lady, and she would smoke, and I just loved.
Jogging? While jogging?
Yes. She was like, we called them the Center All-Stars. We had the Mexican Shuffler, we had the Sea Captain, and there was the Smoking Jogger who was legitimately hot. And she would, it was the weirdest thing.
Was she also on cocaine? How does that work?
I don't know, but she was in great shape. She always wore like a sports bra and little tiny shorts.
Where'd you carry your pack of heaters?
And about half the time while she was running, rolled she would have sleeve, a dart dangling from her lips. And I'm like,
it's incredible.
Hell. Yes.
It's like that hot golfer who smokes.
Yes. Well, what am I going
to... Charlie Hull.
Yeah.
What am I going to give her running tips?
Girl, hey, you
shouldn't
else.
Be doing that. She'd be like, yeah, keep up with me for 2 minutes. And I'm like, I can't. And then she'd blow some smoke in my face and run away. That lady was awesome. She was living her best life. I also like to think that she was doing some sort of like, well, maybe the jogging cancels out the smoking. Right? It's like, yeah. I'm doing some harm, but hey, I'm working these lungs.
You still wouldn't think you'd do them simultaneously, but there you are.
Well,
yeah, someone said Corky is poisoning this vibe.
She
exactly.
is. Much love to Justine Huang, 26-year-old. It didn't say where she was from, did it?
I'm looking here, and it doesn't say, at least in this article that I'm reading on KPBS. But she seems delightful.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in vibes.
Yes.
And she's got them.
Yes.
Hey, what do you think Coach K and Ken Jeong are talking about on the bench?
Oh, Ken Jeong.
He's a Duke guy.
Yeah, he's a Duke guy and a Dodgers guy. But wasn't he behind the home plate for the World Series?
He was behind the home plate. Well, he lives in L.A. now because he's an actor, but he actually went to Duke Medical School.
Yeah.
So that's probably legit, you know.
I can buy that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
Plus, he's...
First cool thing about Duke in a long time. Ken Jeong, is that his
Jeong.
Name? Jeong. He seems like he'd be a fun hang.
He does seem like a fun guy. I'm trying to think if there's anything else about Duke that's cool, unless this lady went to Duke. I'm trying to find out more about her.
You think Corky went to the Duke?
No. Corky's probably some crunchy. She went to like Cal. That whiny bitch.
Crunchy. Well, are you calling her a crunchy granola lib?
I am. Like, is there anything worse than when someone's having fun and then someone has to immediately chime in with the, you know, what you're doing isn't very healthy for you, or that's really not a very safe thing to do.
Yeah, it's like why would you even care what somebody else does in a marathon? There, was it like 50,000 people in that marathon?
Yes.
Who cares, Corky? Who cares what they're doing?
It's like when you're out floating the river or whatever, and someone's like, oh, you shouldn't be consuming beverages. Well, and you're like, thanks, tips. That's great. I've got a life vest upside down in my like diapered. And I got a 12-pack. You really think I'm concerned right now about your safety warnings? You don't think I'm aware of what I'm doing here? Just get out of here.
You get.
Well, it's like the lifeguards.
Dude, he's such an effing loser.
A wiser man than me once said, we're not here to be goalies. You're here to assist or get out of the way. Quit trying to put the kibosh on people's fun. You're that's the Karen of the world. That's like, hey,
couldn't agree more.
You can't have a lemonade stand here, or we need speed cushions on our streets. These are the sorts of people that are looking to kill fun for everybody.
One of humans' worst traits is poking their stupid noses into other people's business. Mind your own.
Especially when it doesn't apply to you.
Exactly. Mind your own.
Yeah, someone's saying, yeah, Vlade, and this is true, I've seen it. Vlade Divac would smoke at halftime of NBA games.
Yeah. That was famous.
Yeah, Mario Lemieux would do that, too, for the Pittsburgh Penguins until he got cancer. And I was like, hey, got to stop that. But just the idea of like, world-class condition athletes, like, just in, like right underneath the Blazer Tunnel. It's like, hold on, I got to get a couple more puffs on this one before I got to go out. And how much better was golfing back in the olden days when you could smoke on tour and they would show it?
When I was working in the Bay Area, Yoenis Cespedes and Josh Reddick were both playing for the A's, and they would sneak into the clubhouse in the fourth, fifth inning between the bats and rip heaters together.
That's right.
Yeah, the first time I went to the PGA Championship in Tulsa in the late 90s, I think.
Yeah.
And that was my first ever pro golf tournament. Mm-hmm. stunned at how many of those guys were out there smoking.
All those old dogs did,
the
right?
The players, they all did. Yeah, yeah. And it was like, oh my God, this is stuff they don't show on TV.
Yeah.
So there was this guy by the name of Neil Lancaster. He was a pro, and he was out there, and nobody was following him. So we just latched onto him. He was just smoking darts, talking to us with his old Southern drawl. God, he was great. Missed the cut, but
yeah, man, you know. You know what his vibes though were? His vibes were excellent.
There was no Corky there to keep him in check.
No.
We certainly weren't keeping him in check.
And it's great that her name is Corky. If you're going to have someone that's going to rain on your parade, wouldn't it be someone named Corky? No, I'm not going to give you no cookie.
No.
No, we're not Corky.
All right. Up next, I only date women in poverty.
I did see that.
Did you see that?
That's a bold statement, but look, the guy's got a point.
I think he does too.
It's not necessarily like the most politically correct point, but I see where he's coming from.
Being a man of increase.
He is.
We'll get to that next. Here's Buck. Yeah, somebody on the YouTube chat alerted us to Uncle Chen, the smoking marathoner.
Yeah, he got kicked out of one of the major marathons. We got disqualified. And he ran one in outside of Beijing, and he got disqualified for chain smoking.
Yeah, but he runs a sub 3:30 marathon.
Yeah.
While chain smoking.
Yes, but it violates the rules. I guess you're not allowed to smoke on the course, and he doesn't just smoke, he chain smokes. He looks fantastic. See, he just makes me laugh. He's 52.
He's a Chinese runner.
Yeah.
Uncle Chen.
There's something too. I don't know why, but I always enjoy, like, you ever pull up to like a Chinese restaurant and like the Asian cooks are just like out in the alley just smoking away. It just, there's something about it that just makes me smile. It just feels right with the world. The BTJ, like they have this, my gal has like a, she calls it her family group. And I think we've talked about this, but it's a gathering, and it's like every kind of Asian you can imagine. It's just the community. And they all get together like once a month, and they do big family like kind of potlucks. And there's a group of uncles, and I'm not really sure who they're related to or how they're related to, but they're all like in their like 50s and 60s, and none of them really speak English, and they always have large amounts of cash. They'll gamble on anything, and they just sit in the corner off on their own, and they just drink hard liquor and chain smoke the entire time.
Nice.
And you don't know who they're related to?
No, I always ask, and it's always like, well, that's Uncle so-and-so, and I'm just like, no one really can give me a definitive answer on where they belong to, but like, they're all, like, a lot of them are like Laotian, and I always ask, like, what they do, and no one really can tell me what they do, but it's just, they're awesome, and they'll gamble on anything, and large amounts of money, and I'm desperate to try to get in with them. I gotta find it in, but it's very intimidating. Because I don't smoke. I'm not.
Start bringing
Asian.
Your own heaters, man.
I need to just have the guts to go over there one day with like a bottle of like Remy Martin or something, and then just, and they love Heineken too, hard liquor and Heineken. That's
why
all,
Heineken.
I don't know, but they all, that's all the beer they drink. They drink hard liquor or Heineken.
And what's the hard liquor of choice?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it clear brown?
No, they're drinking clear.
Okay.
Yeah. Drinking clear liquor and Heinekens. And like the one guy that was 60, he showed up the last time and he got a new head tattoo. He's just got a big giant tattoo on his head. And I'm like, who gets it? Like 65, who gets a head tattoo? They're like, oh, that's Uncle So-and-so. I got to get in with those guys. I need to be bolder about what's happening there, because I think when you enter that world, I think cool and also probably highly illegal stuff is going on, and I want in.
Listen, they're smart. They love to party.
Yes.
They love to gamble.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, they live longer than anybody.
I know. Like, again, what?
Why do we not take our cues from the Asians?
we were there, and someone announced a pregnancy, and it was like, you know, they was like, hey, we're having a baby. Dude, they started betting thousands of dollars on the sex of the baby. And I'm like, this is the sort of degenerates.
Yeah, I love that.
Like, hey, we got something to gamble on? Let's go.
I've certainly had some very serious gambling days. And I remember one time at a friend's wedding, we were all housed. And we started betting, not thousands, but hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
Back when we didn't have hundreds of dollars. Yeah. We started betting on who could throw. We were outside because we were smoking. And It was who could throw their credit card closest to the wall.
It's the Michael Jordan penny game, basically. Yeah,
and you would get double if you were able to lean it up against the wall.
And you were gambling for no reason other than it was just awesome.
Hundreds of dollars, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, but we needed some action. Let's go. We're at a wedding. Boring. Let's go.
It's just the best. Oh, good times.
It's good times. Well.
What were we?
Well, I was going to tell you about Corey Holcomb.
Oh, yeah, we got to talk about Corey.
Now, he is a comedian, American comedian from Chicago.
I had not really heard of him before I saw this story.
I haven't either, so I had to read about him. He bills himself as the ghetto Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
But I'm not familiar with his works. But he has gone viral because he is stating that he only dates women in poverty because they're more practical.
Yes. And he says, quote, I believe the quote that I saw was, I can control them. It's somewhat problematic,
yeah,
but...
I don't like that part of it. No. But what he's saying is, look, he says, you know, a lot of these women come from money, and it's tough. It's all they think about. It's all they care about. He said the women in poverty are more down to earth. They're more fun.
He did say it's a humanitarian thing, too. it's lifting people up. I think it's an interesting strategy.
He says that it's the same thing as women who only date rich men.
Yes. Which, by the way, that to me is
that's
best
fair.
Point. Because there are a ton of women out there that are now saying that if you, and some of the demands, like, it's ridiculous. Like, there's women that are like, if you don't make $1 million, like, I want nothing to do with you. I'm like, yikes.
Yeah.
And so why is it okay for that? But not okay for a guy to do the, well, I'm only dating poor.
Being a man of increase.
But to be honest with you, isn't that the whole notion of rich old guys anyways?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's just being a little more outwardly about it. He's not necessarily a rich old man.
Yeah. I don't know. Why would you be outraged by this?
Well, because, you know.
He can date whoever he wants.
Yeah. But.
And by the way, I mean, it's not a bad way to go if you want to cut out the superficial crap from your life.
I think it probably stems from the part that he's targeting a certain demographic because he can control them.
Yeah,
better.
I didn't like that part. I did not read
that's
that he said
that. That's probably
what
people don't like.
Yeah. That's not my favorite.
But at the same time, couldn't you say that women that date rich guys, I mean, there's like entire websites that are dedicated to, are you young and hot and do you want a rich guy? I mean, they made a show called Who Wants to Date a Millionaire? You're targeting a specific person.
What was that show?
Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire?
Oh, yeah.
Who I remember that.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
No. Yeah. Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire?
And then, of course, the guy who was the millionaire ended up not being a millionaire. Was this dumb reality scam. Yeah. But it was basically a bunch of women that were, well, kind of like that HBO show where you're only looking at people's parts and deciding who you want to go on a date with.
Well,
all these women were not allowed to see the man. They're just like, I don't care what he looks like.
Can we?
I'll marry him because he's a millionaire.
Well, can we be honest? Like...
Please
dating,
do.
Dating and marriage and everything else, it's all transactional. It's just a matter of what you're paying with. Some people pay with genuine love and affection and care.
What is that? Who does that?
Other people pay with goods, services, money, houses, security. Other people pay with great uptops. Other dudes pay with great hair and hot abs.
Mm.
You know, other people pay with like trips and planes and like we all are playing a game of poker, and you can only play the cards that you've been dealt.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't you make the argument that if you're a guy and you have a bunch of money? Look, that's an ace. In fact, that may be a pair of aces. But if you're 25 and you're a ridiculously good-looking guy, that's probably a pair of kings. Now, the ultimate flush is when you're young and hot and you're female. I mean, that's like the royal flush. You're out there like you're Godzilla and the rest of us are millions of fleeing Japanese. But there's some cards that we respect and others that we feel like is cheating, and it's not. We're just all playing the hand that we have, and you're playing your best hand. And this guy, you know, he's playing.
Well, you try to play your best hand.
You try.
Sometimes, you know, the youngs, they don't, I mean, now, sometimes you don't understand what your best hand is.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. But, I mean, it's just like every relationship is somewhat transactional. It's just that some transactions, again, we frown upon, and others we do not. But think about, like, whenever you wooed your girl or she wooed you, you tried to win her over and you tried to impress her. Like, you probably at some point took your wife on a nice date, right? When you were first dating, like when you were like, hey, I want to see if like this is solid, whether you take her to.
Well, not if you're ghetto Dr. Phil. She's not expecting much.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. Like, yeah. There's a whole thing. Like, if you're ghetto Dr. Phil and you're thinking to yourself, like, for me, maybe it's Ring House, or for someone else, it'd be Ox.
I'm going to take this girl to Cheesecake Factory, and it's going to be Michelin star.
Yeah. And for Dr. Phil, he can probably aim for Applebee's, and his gal's like, hey, this is awesome. Like, I can see the allure of that. But you're putting that forward, and then you're like you're taking her to dinner, and you're buying her your drinks, and there's wine, and we're going to a Broadway show and all that. And the other guy's just like, hey man, what if I just spent a lot less, or what if I just paid directly for the access? So again, we're just playing hands, but we like to make ourselves feel better and believe that we're above it all, when in reality we're not. We're all feeding at the same trough. It's just how we get there.
All right, Better Hang wraps it up next on The Fan. And last but not least tonight, something we were discussing over drinks a couple weeks ago.
Some drinky poos.
Yeah. The topic came up, and I don't know how. You know how that goes.
That's usually what happens, yeah.
Yeah. But we were discussing who is a better hang. Who would be a better hang? Who would you rather hang with, okay? Would it be the Rube, who is fully sober, or the brilliant, educated professional on meth?
Ooh. Yikes. You went full meth, huh?
Yeah.
I'm probably going to say the sober Rube. I don't...
You think so?
Boy, man. I don't have a lot of experience with people on meth, but everything I see, I don't think meth is a good hang.
I feel similarly that, yeah.
I feel that's a lot of, like,
I don't need to
that's itchy
fraternize
and,
with the
yeah, I,
meth
yeah.
people.
No. Now, I get it, like, the meth head, like, the people that, like, I see on the street, like, that I ride the bike by, like, that's all meth, but is there such a thing as just, like casual meth? Like,
well,
just a baby if, hit?
Well, I'm saying, like, those people obviously are in the throes of meth addiction.
What if they're early on?
That's like, what I'm saying. Like, if we just found a dude and he's like, hey, man, I'm just going to smoke a little meth tonight, does that person still keep it all together? Is the difference between doing a little coke and someone that has, like, a raging coke problem? Is there such thing as mild meth? Like, meth light?
Well, they say once you do it once, you're hooked already, right?
If that's the case, then I think I'm taking the sober Rube. At least that you could find something to talk to him about, right? Like, maybe he's into, like, I don't know, maybe he's into, like, helicopters or something, or, like, something,
sure.
like World War, he's probably into World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Every nerd's into World War II. Go with that.
Yeah, could be super cool.
Or the meth, I mean.
The meth guy could be wild, though.
The meth could be wild. We golfed with a guy down in Tahoe who was ripping lines the entire time. Dude was, like, one of the most interesting people I've ever met. He was an old guy. And, like, he was in the, he worked for, like, John Paul Mitchell. Is that the...
Paul Mitchell. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the salon?
Yeah, the salon guy. He was in the salon business? Oh, my goodness. He was telling me about, like, what it was like in the 70s and 80s.
Oh, yeah. It was like radio back in the day.
Oh, God.
He's still hanging on for dear life?
Oh, yeah, dude. He was...
Not letting those days go?
Yeah, dude. He was just... And he was probably 70 and just ripping lines. Yeah, just like wearing the golf cart together. He's like, hey, you mind real quick? I'm like, dude, have at it. He's telling all these stories about, like, the Playboy Mansion and this and that. And some of the stories were uncomfortable, but, I mean, it was a hell of a round. So, I mean, like that, like, between that and some sober Rube, I'll take the dude who's coked out of his mind. Meth, though.
We're going meth.
I don't know. I'm kind of intrigued now.
Could be interesting.
It could be interesting. I don't know if I've ever hung out with someone while they're smoking meth.
You probably have. You just don't know it.
I think you would know it, right? Can you?
It's possible you've done a show with one every day for 20 years.
I don't think you can casually do meth. Like, I don't think you can casually do heroin. I don't think that works. I'm guessing coke is probably the hardest drug that you can casually do.
All right. Well, unanswerable question.
No.
I guess personal preference.
I think Rob wants to dabble with the meth guy.
I think I would, yeah.
I think, yeah, you were going meth.
Yeah. It'd be interesting. That's a just ball. If no other.
Just to see.
Just to see what that's like.
I'm guessing we have a listener that could probably make that happen.
Well, let's not go that.
Someone's out there right now like, hey, I'll. You want to smoke some meth? Let's go.
All right. Everybody have a great night. We are back tomorrow. Not 3 to 7. Probably around 4. But we'll be on after the Oregon game. So see you tomorrow on The Fan. Good night. Become Tony with a power and a